Welcome to Las Vegas, entertainment capital of the world, fight capital of the world, high school football capital of the world. It has been a huge week for the 702 in high school football. An alum, I guess, leading rusher in the NFL. We got the best players on the West Coast up and down coming from Las Vegas. And of course, what I'm getting to mostly, Bishop Gorman, in my mind, establishing themselves as the undisputed best high school team in the country, beating St. John Bosco 34-31 last Friday night in only the fifth matchup ever between USA Today's number one versus number two teams in the high school polls. So we will not be hurting for material today on Prep Sports Now, which is brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Let's get to zero teen fatalities by having no texting and driving, no drinking and driving. As always, I'm Case Kiefer alongside co-host Raymond Brewer. Brewer, you were at the Gorman game. Looked pretty special on TV. Delayed, but didn't seem to dampen the enthusiasm too much.
Yeah, the only people dampened was me and the 5,000 fans that sat through the rain delay. But
and your cell phone.
And my cell phone that had no batteries. Awesome environment for high school football. Just awesome environment for a sporting event at all. Just the energy, Case, like an hour before kickoff with the music on and the teams warming up. And, you know, you walk the sideline and each team has, you know, you always talk about that eye test. Each team was like, they passed the eye test. Big, physical, crisp, sharp, quick players. And you just knew it was a big game environment. And then before kickoff, the Imagine Dragons are there. Obviously, Snoop Dogg, Flavor Flav, my guy.
Dana White.
Dana White, of course. George Maloof, back-to-back games. But the hottest girl in the stadium by far.
All right, Brent Musburger.
Yeah, it's just awesome, awesome to be part of an environment. And, I mean, shout out to Gorman for what they created. I was talking on Twitter after the game, and you don't remember this, but when I was a kid and when I first started covering high school sports, Gorman was a three-win team. You know, they had that old Charleston and Maryland Parkway campus with a small little athletic field in the back. They you know, you couldn't even hold a full practice there. And they had no linemen or no skill players or not a combination of both. And they've slowly grown to this. And, you know, there was even a day when they had DeMarco Murray, the leading rusher in the NFL, and Ryan Reynolds, who's probably the best defender in the history of Nevada high school football.
And one of the best in Oklahoma football history.
They couldn't win a playoff game. They couldn't beat Cheyenne in the playoffs. Then I remember, you know, I think 06, they lose homecoming to Spring Valley at Sam Boyd Stadium. And now they've got the new campus, which in my opinion has been the whole difference, because you're always going to have great players. You're always going to have Russell Booz or Cordell Brodus or pick your favorite skill position player. And you're always going to have a few good kids on the line. But to have a complete football team, you have to have players 40 to 80. And if they didn't have that campus, I don't know if players 40 to 80, we're talking the kids that won't play another game outside of intramural flag football, they wouldn't go to Gorman. And I think that's just part of the evolution. And, of course, you bring Coach Sanchez in, detailed and organized more than any person I've ever seen in the high school game. Has the great ability where 1 minute he's in your face getting the most out of you, and the next minute he's loving you up. And I've never seen anybody get the most out of his kids by having them want to perform for one person. And you add it all together, and here we are, Friday night, great environment, and Gorman left no doubt. They only won by three. However, they were up 34-10, and you could see the Bosco players wanting to raise the white flag, even though they did rally.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I just described the whole Gorman evolution for you.
I was just hoping that you gave me somewhere to start off of. There's so much to talk about. Now you've knocked off 75% of the points. But
Let's move on to the picks. No.
I guess the things I wanted to talk about, well, first you started with the interest. I want to say I think I have to change my opinion. You were probably right a few weeks ago when you said you thought maybe the town could rally around this team, and I said probably not. I could not believe everyone was talking about this game. I mean, everywhere I went, there were people. There were a lot of people in town for the UFC that I'm kind of acquaintances with, don't know that well. They're asking me about the game. You go places in town, like sports bars were packed. People were watching the game. I mean, it was unbelievable. The city, I really feel like, did get behind Gorman, and that was good to see because I honestly didn't think that was going to happen. It happened.
And even I think some of the people that dislike Gorman on our comments were like, hey, way to go. Good job.
Yeah, I mean, it was really hard not to be impressed by this. And the latter part of your just a several-minute rundown of everything that happened is really what stood out to me. And I think on the broadcast, I don't even think they talked enough about it. And we're going to get to all the kids and all the outstanding performances. But to me, even when I got here, Gorman was that team that was good. They were making playoff runs every year, but they were never winning state championships. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, there's people that say, well, you know, look at the campus they got. Look at the facilities. I'm going to tell you, the number one factor in my mind, without a doubt, is their coaching. I mean, Tony Sanchez just – there's not a better coach in the area, no matter what level you're saying. I just think that they've done such an incredible job over there. If you look at how they came out in that game, number one, I was at home watching on TV. I was fired up. I was ready to throw on some pads when they showed Sanchez's pregame speech. They come out. The play calling on the first two drives was just awesome. I mean, they were doing whatever they wanted. They were aggressive. I think they had like a 4th-and-8 play around the 50-yard line, and they were like, we're going for it. Which I absolutely loved. But then the one nitpicky issue I have is then I think it was like 21-3 later in the game, and they were just gashing them for 4 yards whenever they want to. It was like 4th-and-3 at the 44, and they punted. I was like, oh, don't do that. I was in the middle of texting someone how well this how I loved how aggressive they were being, and they did that. But anyway, back to the major point. I feel like a lot of coaches you look at that have strengths of one thing, like, hey, this guy's a great motivator. This guy's great at X's and O's. I feel like Sanchez and his staff just do it all so well. I was fired up, like I said, when I watched the pregame thing. Then you get into the game, and I feel like they just totally outcoached the other side. Had the play calls. I mean, this is pretty equal talent-wise, and it just seemed like they were more well-prepared. The kids were fired up to go. And then on top of that, the preparation thing, you can't take anything away from that either. It's been several years now since I've been out at a Gorman practice. But a Gorman practice has run better than the majority of college practices I've seen. I mean, I just feel like this staff deserves all the credit in the world. You can say all you want about the money they have, the facilities. You don't get to be the number one team in the nation if you just have a run-of-the-mill coach back there.
Yeah, and a few things, you know, they had the facilities. Well, I mean, not the athletic training center, but they had the facility of the new school and the stadium before Sanchez got there. Extremely undisciplined, lost to Paolo by 40 points in the Sunset Finals. Basically, the same team the next year beats them, and you just saw the evolution of how they were changing things, and it all came to a boiling top on Friday night. It was a pretty fun night. I go back to it, but the sense in the stadium, you felt like it was one of those, like, special nights. And I know Tony and his staff always like, oh, we take each week exactly the same. And, you know, I'm firmly convinced that they're going to prepare for Shadow Ridge this week, you know, just like they would any other opponent. But it's going to be tough to duplicate that environment and the emotion of the teams. And I think another great point is that you got to remember there was a 56-minute delay for Lightning and Rain, and I thought Gorman came out quick and aggressive, and he had them ready to go after that delay, and I thought that Bosco was a step slower. I don't know if everybody agrees with me on that, but I thought the difference in the game was that quick start.
Didn't look like they were as prepared. Didn't look like they were as up for the start as Gorman.
I thought, you know, I was standing next to Bosco when they were ready to run in at about 6:55, and they were all fired up. And then it was like, okay, Lightning, get back to the locker room. And it hadn't started raining then. So then they wait out the delay and they come back and they just weren't ready to go. You could see it in their step. But then you saw Gorman and they're all fired up and ready to get at it. And to me, that was the difference of the game, the way they handled it.
I could see that. It's probably a disservice just to the whole team to start talking about kids because so many guys had big games. But I wanted to ask you who stood out to you. Obviously, I'll start. And, I mean, you can't talk about this game without talking about Tate Martell, who's just
Houdini.
I mean, the kid is unbelievable. The one touchdown pass he made, I think, to Alize Jones, maybe in the third quarter, it might not have been the highlight on the scale of last week, but still, that was unbelievable that he got out of that, made just the perfect type of throw. The kid just made plays up and down the field. But you know me, I really like watching the play up front. I felt like on the offensive line, when they got a little bit more conservative, much to my dismay, because I want to see him just keep going. You know, I'm an aggressive guy. When they got more conservative, though, Booz could pick up 4 or 5 yards every time. They were just running behind these big guys on the offensive line.
Russell Booz not have a scholarship offer? Did you see him outrun the world on that touchdown play?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's some speed, bro.
Yeah.
That's real legit breakaway. Kids were coming at an angle, and he beat him to the house. And that was, I was super impressed with that play.
Absolutely.
Fire and ice. He's fire, right? No, he's ice. And Shoemaker is fire.
Yeah, God, Shoemaker just runs so hard.
God, he's aggressive, huh?
Yeah.
He well put to the – they only list him like, I think, 5'9", 180 maybe. Whatever it is.
Sounds about right.
He's a freight truck.
Yeah, 5'9", 182. Who help me out here? Who are those guys on the offensive line? Like Jackson Perry.
Jackson Perry had a good game.
That there was another kid right next to him. I wanted to remember, but Perry was awesome. Defensive line.
16. Haskell, your guy.
Yeah, Garrett Haskell. How's that kid a sophomore? The kid is just ridiculous. He's so good.
The crazy thing with me on Haskell was before the year, we asked the coaches to fill out the sheet, and Tony lists like his top 10 or 11 guys. Haskell's not on the list. How could he not be not one of your top 10 or 11 guys?
Yeah, I mean, I guess because he's young, you wanted to see what you got out of him. But God, every time that kid's in, he's great. I've already mentioned every week the Noah Tialavea kid up there. I think he's awesome, too. And really the star on defense, even on the telecast they were talking about a lot, was Ryan Garrett, the defensive end, who, like, one drive, he made, like, 3 huge tackles in a row. I mean, what a game for this kid.
Exactly. And Gorman okay – tell me if I'm wrong on this, and you know football better than I do. Bosco was probably bigger, as in physically bigger than Gorman, but Gorman was significantly stronger, like push stronger than Bosco.
I mean, it's hard to tell on the TV about the sizes, so I'll take your word for it that Bosco is bigger. They both looked really big to me on TV, but Gorman, 100 strong. Times stronger, yeah. Definitely stronger.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way, like, you know, so league play starts this week, and so Paolo is in the same league this year, the Southwest, as Gorman. And then Arbor, they likely could meet for the Sunset Championship. Both of those teams run the misdirection. I don't know how you run on that team. I don't know who you could push around on the Gorman front, right?
No one.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then another guy I think I mention every week, but this kid, every Gorman game I've seen this year, which not many, but Jabari Butler seems to come up with a huge play every single game. I love the now I'm trying to remember when it was, the first quarter when Bosco was about to score a touchdown. He just took the most beautiful pursuit angle, tackles the guy before he can get in the end zone. Literally a touchdown-saving tackle. Could have changed the whole game. Bosco could have been a little bit more confident there. Then Gorman's defense shuts him down from there and holds him to a field goal. That was like one of the biggest unsung plays of the game.
And, of course, we don't even mention Tijon Lindsey.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many guys.
Touchdown?
Yeah, that was pretty unbelievable. I mean, another just super athlete who clearly him and Martell have a
they're in sync.
Yeah.
Not the band.
Oh, and your guy, Ikem Okeke, had a really good game too.
2 weeks ago, or maybe it was this week. I get him mixed up, but that kid's a hitter.
Yeah.
Pound for pound, smasher.
Yeah, I mean,
smash him.
Just so impressive. I know a lot of people are probably thumbing their nose and are angry when we talk about Gorman this much, but this is something very, very momentous. I mean,
it's
I don't
not
know.
Every day that you beat the number one versus number two play on ESPN, and number one is our team, and they win.
Yeah, just crazy, and all the respect to Gorman. Great game. Now it just falls to the local opponents. They have to beat them, and they're probably going to win a national championship. And I'm sorry to everyone locally because I don't think you have much of a chance against this team. But
I do like the attitude that Shadow might be taking. If you read their game story, they beat Valley last week. I think they're 2-2, and they have a few good athletes at Shadow. I mean, not in comparison to Gorman, but a few good local athletes. But Coach Frank said it best. He said, it gives us an opportunity to have some of our guys get some good look on film. You know, if you're a kid from Shadow and you want to get that scholarship, you're going to have your chance to prove yourself against somebody who's likely going to a Division I school. You could beat Nico Fertitta, who's going to Notre Dame. You could guard a kid that's a top-rated tight end in the nation going to UCLA.
You could
intercept Tate Martell, who's committed to Washington and has a USC offer. You have a chance to, you know. And then another thing is, what happens if you do the unthinkable? If you beat Gorman, I mean, which would be a miracle for Shadow.
Well, yeah, it's not going to happen.
They're just not there yet. But one of these local teams, could you imagine if all the stars aligned and somehow? And this, of course, might be impossible, but if they beat Gorman, the national attention they would get?
Absolutely. I don't think Shadow Ridge has any chance, but I will say I'm totally in agreement with you that I love the way they're treating this as a chance to get some exposure. And also, the big thing is they're just not scared of them at all. And I would like to say that's true for every team on Gorman's schedule, but I don't think that's the case. I think some teams would rather just not even play them. They don't want to get hurt or whatever. Shadow Ridge, from the moment they started this season, was saying they want to play Gorman. Mm-hmm. They want to beat the best. So I like that.
How many teams or players or coaches in town think that they could beat Gorman?
Like four, maybe? Five?
I think it's half of it's mental, man. You go into the game saying, okay, well, let's see if we can hang with them for a quarter.
Definitely not half, but I get your point.
You know,
but I don't think it's
nobody
half
goes
mental.
In there and says, okay, we're going to shock the world. We've got the best plan. We're going to have a spirit assembly. We're going to get fired up. Gorman's coming to our house, and they're going to leave here with their head between their tails. Nobody says that. Am I right?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Okay. So
that's all I got.
Yeah. All right. So we'll transition to the other teams. Maybe some teams that might have the littlest chance to knock off Gorman all played each other this week. We had Liberty and Palo Verde. We had Arborview and Coronado. In the Arborview-Coronado game, three overtimes.
Classic.
Yeah, total down to the wire. This is where I can sit here and admit that I was wrong last week. I think here's the problem. Liberty deserves to be the number two team, no doubt in my mind, after what they did. I mean, this defense is just nasty. Second best defense in town. Behind Gorman, no doubt. They hold Palo Verde to 2 points. Here's the reason why I think maybe I got a little bit too jumpy in putting Arborview above them. I think you and even me, we might have started the year underrating Coronado a little bit. I've gotten to the point where I think we started saying if Liberty somehow gets shocked in the Sunrise, it's going to be Green Valley. I think it's Coronado. They have just a couple breaks away from beating Liberty and now Arborview. It seems like as good of time as any to announce our Sun standout player of the week from Coronado, a familiar name here, Spencer Kofer.
Kid
made four field goals, including one long to go to overtime.
Like 45 yards at the buzzer to force overtime. And shout out to Coronado. That D, don't look at the 37 they gave up, because remember, triple overtime, you got to get there.
Yeah.
I thought that D handled Arborview exceptionally. Even though Corona lost the game on paper and they're devastated because they feel they were on the wrong end of some bad calls, you kind of feel like morally that they got a moral victory. And I know you don't play for moral victories, but I think all of a sudden now, when you talk about the top teams in town, Liberty, Arbor, Centennial, and now Coronado, right?
Yeah. And on, yeah.
I mean, they lost to Liberty by one when Kofer missed, what, a 50-some yarder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they arguably should have beat Coronado. I mean, Arborview, even though Barnson's going to call me and tell me I'm terribly mistaken and I need to watch the tape of the game.
Well, and you know, and I've spoken on the podcast too about trying not to be too reactionary. But if they play Arborview or Liberty tomorrow, I have a tough time deciding who I'm going to pick. And if they play Centennial tomorrow, who's the other team I think they're kind of up there with, I'm picking Coronado, no doubt.
You would pick Coronado over Centennial?
Yes.
I think Centennial's defense.
I love Centennial. I think they're great. But Coronado, what they've done against Arborview and Liberty just speaks very highly to me.
Okay.
I'm not saying they should be ranked above them or anything. I'm saying if they played tomorrow.
I will tell you this. Outside of Bishop Gorman High School, Centennial has the best players in town. I said it. I'm done. That's it. Well, I might be wrong. I'm sorry.
I'm taking liberty.
I mean, I know. I shouldn't have said that.
Ethan Noah Jefferson.
I think what I meant in that comment, not on the varsity, but from player one to player 150 in the program.
So there's some young talent.
I have a high opinion of Centennial. I do think that Liberty, the Ethan Dudeau kid is amazing. I mean, best player on the field. You know I love the best player on the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. So, and if I'm Rich Morocco drawing up the offensive plays, I'm like, well, let me see. How many times could I get Ethan the ball?
But, I mean, it's not like he's the only weapon they have. That's the one thing where I guess you could kind of be down on Liberty's. I feel like their offense should have put up more points by now. I mean, they got a lot of weapons.
The offense is evolving. They've got a freshman quarterback.
They've played some really tough defenses, too.
They have. I mean, look who they beat. They just beat Paolo.
19-2.
Let me ask you this. Is it worse to lose 19-0 or 19-2? Remember the national championship game? I think Oklahoma beat Florida State. Something to 2. Like
2000? Oh, yeah. Like 2000, 2001. I think it was 13-2. I would say it's worse. For the defense, it's much worse to get shut out. You never want to get shut out, even though you didn't really have much to do with the two. It just looks funny.
It does. It looks awful. With that said, Liberty's punt team. If you want to nitpick, the punt team needs a lot of work. Super impressed with Liberty. Case Kiefer, they had 7 guys, starters, sitting over on the sideline with uniforms on, just jerseys only, no pads.
Injuries,
and they're still winning. How many teams in town? How many teams in town could have 7 starters out and still hold Palo Verde to 2 points?
Not very many.
What's that say? I mean, shout out to Liberty. That was absolutely impressed with the way that defense is.
And I will say when we
with a quarterback who is still finding his way. By the way,
when we put our minds together, we come up with pretty good lines. We had the line on this game 12.5. And it took a Liberty goal line stand not to cover it.
Covered,
right?
Baby.
So you got
Liberty
it,
owed me one from that first week.
But that being said, I had Legacy plus 5.
And they won.
won by 30 points. Bad. So what's are we even or am I up $5? Or
no,
what's the
4-4. Four. We're 3-3.
Oh, there's the records. I didn't see
the
records.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But I get a Thunderbird stronghold off of us, San Diego
UNLV.
State.
UNLV plus 12. Gosh! Bad line. What about the Hail Mary? How convenient. Faith Lutheran, the most religious team in town. Hail Marys to Mojave.
You know who my son standout of the week is? No offense to Spencer Kofer, who definitely deserves it. But as you probably might know by now, I wasn't out at high school football Saturdays. One of my other beats. There's a UFC event. Whoever runs the Faith Lutheran Twitter, it's like the best social media guy in town. I didn't know what was going on in any other game, but every time I look down, I'm getting updates on this. I knew right when the Hail Mary happened. Yeah. So shout out to Faith Lutheran Twitter guy. He's got what's going on the whole game. I was patting myself on the back thinking, oh, Mojave's got this. They were beating them all day. Got up early. And then just could not believe what I read. Backup quarterback, whose name I'm going to get here in a second. Brendan Joyce.
Who's got a cannon, by the way.
Yeah, is this a... Now, maybe I'm just jumping the gun a little bit, but is this a Tate Martell, Danny Hong?
No, this
scenario?
No.
Is this kid going to take over the job?
No, Greg Benson's the man.
Okay.
Greg Benson's the man.
I knew he was having a good year, but you can't argue with the results of the kid throwing the game-winning touchdown against...
An absolute cannon. Rubel Acaba, great catch. He bobbled it and then outraced Flanagan to the end zone. A few things. If you want to see the Hail Mary, it's on the Faith Lutheran Facebook page. So I've gotten to see that. It's pretty awesome, to be honest with you. Two things. One... Saves the Faith Lutheran season because they would be 0-3 in the league, might not make the playoffs, right? Number two, look at the tape. Did Rubel Acaba get in or did Flanagan get him? Because I know that the Mojave people got to be feeling bad about themselves. Mojave, I still think, has a chance to compete for a state championship.
Oh, I think this proves that they can.
More than a doubt proves it. But Case Kiefer... How do they respond? If I'm Joe Delgado, I'm like, I call the kids in there. I was like, listen, it's us against the world. Nobody wants these kids from Northtown to win. It's us against the world. We're going to prove everybody wrong. We're going to get rings. Zach RV, Ty Flanagan, Darius Fletcher, Nobody's better in the Division 1A than those three. We're super athletic. Our guys up front, Frankie Contreras, we are going to dominate from this point out. We are not going to let a fluke thing take us out of a game. That's, I would be master motivator. I would go in there and I would have those kids ready to go. Us against the world. Nobody wants Mojave to win. Mojave never wins. Nobody cares about kids from North Las Vegas except for me. Love North Town. And I'd get those kids ready to go, baby.
Taking a page out of Hunky's book. That sounds like a Hunky.
That's my guy. I mean, yeah. In fact, let's have Hunky go deliver the speech.
That is a great quote. They got a tough game Thursday. Spring Valley, who's...
Christian Tazi.
I mean, they've been good.
You talk about kids under the radar. Christian Tazi. I mean, the kid does everything. He punts, he runs, he tackles. That Division 1A Sunset, what a league. Faith, Chi-Town, Spring Valley, Mike Clark Chargers, Motown. Somebody's not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. We've been saying that the whole time. And that's
the best team might not make the playoffs. Who knows?
I think if I have to – I don't know who's – I probably have to guess Clark right now. No?
Come on. Why would you say that?
Look what they did against Spring Valley.
They had a bad game. They had some kids hurt. Aren't they 2-1 in the league or 3-1 in the league?
Yeah, guess how many teams are 2-1? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you all have right. to pick one of them not
they
to make it.
They haven't played Western yet.
You have to pick one of them not to make it. Look, every loss on here is
I'm
good.
I'm picking Cheyenne not to make it.
That's a good point.
Come on, bro.
You might be right.
You hater.
I was kind
you got to finish in the top three because if you go to Moapa Valley, your season's over.
I was kind of overlooking. I kind of forgot about Cheyenne. Cheyenne, you could make that argument, but that's going to be a huge game. That's on October 24th, mm-hmm. the last regular season game. I want to say before we move on from the D1A, when you told me that video was up, I went and watched it. I hadn't seen it yet. What do you mean they think that maybe Flanagan got him before he got in the end zone? There's no controversy there. He's clearly in the end zone.
Look at the end of the video.
I'm looking at it right now. Not even close.
Let me see.
Not even close. He's in the end zone.
I don't know.
All right. You have to do is cross the plane. Look, he crossed the plane by like 2 yards.
Let me see.
Not even close.
Bro.
Not even close.
I would agree that he likely is in, but don't tell me it wasn't even close.
All right, let's freeze frame it. All right, here it goes.
By the way, running. Shout out to
whoever. Flanagan on his legs. He's in easily. I cannot even believe you said that. And I love Mojave. I think Mojave, honestly, if they play again tomorrow, I'm picking Mojave.
Shout out to the camera guy who got that, by the way.
Yeah, but not
Maybe it's the same guy on Twitter.
Look, Mojave would be wise to not think about what happened that they should have gotten the tackle because they need to just move on and win these next four games. They got Spring Valley, Cheyenne, Clark, and Western. They can't slip up in any of them. I don't think they will, but let's just move. Mojave, I think, just needs to move on from this game.
Shout out to Shap, my alma mater. 2 in a row, baby. Going for a third one. That's
there
all
you
I
go.
Gotta say.
Yeah.
Don't sleep. Don't sleep on us.
I've picked against them
every week because you're a hater.
At least two of them.
You're a hater.
I've picked against them.
You're a hater. I had a great conversation Friday with somebody from Desert Pines. I'm going to share it with you offline before we talk about it on the show.
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week. Let's do the picks, baby.
All right. Man, this might be one of what's Chaparral's record?
2-whatever.
2-2?
2-2.
Okay, thank God. I thought this might be the first time ever that your high school might have a better record than my high school. But shout out to Wichita Collegiate. Improved to 3-1 this week.
Two different scenarios, buddy.
All right. The first game on the picks this week.
Best game of the year.
Your favorite game.
Henderson
Valley
Bowl.
At Basic.
Is there not a better rivalry in all of high school football? And I say that for two reasons, Case. A, the game is usually competitive. And I wouldn't have been able to say that 10 years ago when Green Valley was just smashing Basic every year. And two, the kids really care. It's like the game of the year for the kids on both teams. They want to hold up the Henderson Bowl trophy. There's nothing better, in my opinion, nothing better than the pageantry of before the game when the team that has the Henderson Bowl walks out, the crowd's going crazy, the captains hold up the bowl, and they go walk it over to a table in the end zone for the whole game. And then after the game, they run over and get the Henderson Bowl.
Yeah.
Nothing better. I don't care. The bone game sucks because Rancho struggles.
I love the I know that it doesn't have the tradition or anything, and we've talked about this on podcast before. But
if you say the banner game, I'm going to be mad.
No, the rivalry I really love right now, or I guess another option you could say is Moapa Valley, Virgin Valley, because both the towns basically shut down. People care so much. But one kind of underrated rivalry that I absolutely love, and I think it doesn't get the credit it deserves because they're two new schools, but every game I've ever been to in anything involving Arborview and Centennial is awesome.
I agree.
That might be my favorite rivalry in town. But you're probably right.
I can't dispute that. I'm so biased to Henderson. I live in Henderson. I used to work at the Henderson Home News. I love Henderson. And I love that rivalry. But over on the Northwest, Arborview Centennial, the battle for the Canes chicken fingers, and everybody shows up.
That sounds good right now. Oh, starving.
I hear you. Here you go.
You say closer than you think this year. I think Green Valley is going to put it all together. I think Green Valley is going to win by quite a bit.
First of all, Basic better than you think.
Basic has really seems like they've gotten better.
Basic will get up for the game because they love it, and I think it's a rivalry game, so you got to use that factor. And I think Green Valley doesn't think Basic is any good, and they're not taking them as seriously as they should.
You just said how much both teams are so into this game and care
so much.
They're
in for this game
them?
And they care for them, but I think they think they're just going to go out there, they're going to dance with the trophy, walk in because they won last year, they're going to put it down for 2 hours, put it on Basic, hammer them in the mouth, and go pick their trophy up again. And I don't think it's going to be that easy. I think they think that Basic is like Rancho. And I'm telling you right now, Basic is going to smack them around.
Have they? Basic hasn't won since 2009. I want to say, is that right?
I'm not sure.
Maybe 2010, but it's been a long while. They won 41-14 in 2009. Wow, and actually won 32-31 in 2010. 2011 is when it started going the other way to Green Valley. What's the line on this game? Is this a $5 play of the week?
Well, I don't know. Okay. Brian, I'm gonna give you less than 20.
20? No way. There's no way.
What do you want me to say? It's a pick'em?
20?
What do you think?
You picked it by 5.
No, you're playing. Tell me what you think. You're trying to get a good number out of me.
No, I am not trying to get a good number out of you. I honestly would have thought the game was like 13.
I'd have to think about it. Let's get on. Maybe we'll find something else. Canyon at Liberty. Schools always play close games. 3 points in last year's semifinals. With that said, Sunrise semifinals. With that said, and Canyon, by the way, always plays up to its competition. With that said, I saw Liberty last week. I think they're in a different level. I think they have a similar effect on Canyon that Arbor did. Give me Liberty big.
Canyon's proven me wrong 2 weeks in a row. I thought Foothill was for sure beating them. They won by 13. I thought El Dorado would play them close. Canyon Springs blew them out. They might prove me wrong another week, but I just think Liberty is on another level. I think Liberty will smoke them.
Okay, I wouldn't have used the word smoke, but beat them big. Okay.
Beat them big and smoke? What's the difference?
I don't know. It just seems nicer.
Okay.
I'm all about being nice.
That's fair enough.
Okay. You know I love Hunky. It's my guy.
Yeah?
I mean, I would run through a brick wall for Hunky right now if I had to. Okay. Las Vegas at Coronado. Vegas, to its credit, down 21-0 last week to Centennial. Made things interesting. They still lost. Vegas is in 2-2. Coronado, as you know, is pretty special. I'll take the Cougs.
I got yet another email last week about, why do you never pick Las Vegas? I'll tell you why I never pick Las Vegas in these big games, so they never win them.
Pick six, too. They had a pick six.
I mean, come on. You know my thoughts on Vegas by now. They're a good team, but they're not great. They can't beat these top-level teams, in my opinion. They're going to come in. They have a good chance to come in second in the Northeast, but they're not winning this game.
The good news for Vegas is they got nothing to do but to prove the doubters wrong.
They usually don't do.
Hey.
One of these days, I'm going to add up all me and myself and your record on picking Las Vegas games. I guarantee you mine is better, even though I get called out all the times I never pick.
Hater! Valley.
Proven correct!
Valley at Silverado. Valley just isn't that good. Case Silverado gets a win to open league play.
Yeah, Silverado win this game.
Dio at Arborview. We don't have the best games this week, folks. Arborview big.
Yeah, Arborview is going to win this game.
Centennial at Bonanza. Centennial.
Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson, son.
Beast.
Standout player of the week
Beast.
Last week.
Beast.
Got to go with that guy.
One comment on the story aggravated me a little bit. I said he was a relative unknown because he was ineligible last year.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's like, yeah, when he was in the eighth grade, he had 22 touchdowns for some youth football team. I'm like, youth football? Nobody knows what youth football.
You do.
I do, but I mean.
I agree.
Let's give the kid a – until you do something in high school, we don't know. Eldo, who's 3-1 and put up a good fight against Canyon before they got blown out, at the Hill, who had a bye last week.
Yeah, Foothill is going to come in rested for this game, I think determined. I wouldn't be surprised if Foothill goes on a little bit of a run now. If you look at their schedule, they've got El Dorado, Silverado, Basic. I think they're going to win all three of those going into Coronado and Green Valley, and who knows?
I don't think they win the Basic game, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. Talking about great rivalries, that's actually a really good rivalry.
Battle for Boulder Highway.
It's at Basic, too. I think they're going to win the next three and go into Coronado, Green Valley on a high.
Okay.
1-3 right now, though. Not pretty.
Yeah. We talked Shadow Ridge Gorman. Of course, last year after Gorman played its national schedule, got a challenge from Legacy. I guarantee you that they will not be challenged, not because Shadow's not good enough, but because Gorman will be on upset alert. Gale's big.
Yeah, Gorman.
Can't wait to type that box score in.
After everything we said about Gorman, I don't think we could pick against him here.
Never. Durango, God bless him, at Legacy. I'll take the Longhorns.
How about my Longhorns? Just
covering, too, baby.
Destroying Cimarron. You had him a 5-point underdog.
I
agreed they should have been the underdog, but 35-6.
Spanked them.
Just not unbelievable. Even close. So,
hell of an effort.
Maybe Legacy's turning the corner after getting that first win. They're going to beat Durango.
Paolo, finally, 4 games against top 25 opponents. They get a crack.
Top 25?
I mean,
might be another top 25 team.
Top 5 opponents. The Panthers, 2-2. They get a chance to get healthy against Cimarron. They win big.
Yeah, Paolo is going to beat up on Cimarron.
All right. My Cowboys make it 3 in a row. They beat up on Rancho.
Chaparral. I picked them. There you go.
That a kid. I love you for it. Virgin at DP. Desert Pines is awful in the first half, but they play great in the second half, as they did in beating Shap 2 weeks ago and Boulder City last week. I think they start strong. They kill Virgin Valley.
I don't know about them beating Virgin Valley that bad. I think it could be somewhat close. I want to give a shout-out, though, to I thought it was a pretty touching story by our Tristan Aird, who's now a new Las Vegas Sun High School football
team
contributor. Junior Pongo had a huge game, and Virgin Valley's winning at Sunrise Mountain the same day of his father's funeral.
Oh.
It was just I know I couldn't do that, so the kid's stronger than me. A big shout-out to him. He had 143 yards and 4 touchdowns. After the team was burying his dad earlier in the day, so that's really that's just crazy to me.
High school football sometimes is more important than the win.
Yeah. Thoughts go out to the Pongo family, but congrats on them from the win despite that tough time last week. Next game is Moapa Valley at Del Sol.
I will pick Moapa Valley big, as I will Faith Lutheran against Western.
How have I given you 2 games in this? By picking Del Sol. I've picked Del Sol 2 games and they weren't going to win. I'm not doing it again. Moapa Valley.
Perfect.
Who's the other game you said was going to be a blowout?
Faith Western.
Yeah, I've got faith in this game. Western still... They got a long way to go, I guess, to put it nicely. Spring Valley at Mojave. This should be a really good game, actually, in my opinion. Mojave, I still think, is a top 5 team, though, in the Division 1A. I think Spring Valley is really close to that. Maybe Mojave has a little bit of a hangover from that devastating loss, but I think as long as they're focused, I think they've got one too many playmakers, and I think that Mojave wins. Close game. You haven't won them by 2 touchdowns. I think it'll be closer than that.
I like Mojave by at least 10. Will you take $5 on that? Mojave minus 10.
10.5.
10.5. I got Mojave.
All right. There's our $5 bet of the week. I'm taking Spring Valley plus 10.5 against
Mojave. All
right. Mojave.
The TV game, Boulder City at Sunrise. Boulder City.
Yeah, Boulder City, I think, is they're kind of benefited by that. They're in the less tough division, right? I mean, they're going to probably finish. They can probably finish third, I would think. So they're going to keep cleaning up on it. I think they'll beat Sunrise Mountain.
All right. Our last 2 games, I think it's going to be a good one. Clark at Vista. I think Vista, after its strong start, aided by a tough schedule, has leveled off.
Easy schedule.
Has leveled off a little. Clark, I love, and I think they're going to win a close one.
How have they fallen off a bit? You picked Cheyenne last week, and they won by 15 points. That was a pretty impressive performance to me.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I'm telling you, though, Sierra Vista, I've been behind all year, and this is why I picked Clark to not make the playoffs, is because I don't think they're winning this week. I love Sierra Vista, despite the tough time they had with Mojave.
I like Clark.
I like Sierra Vista.
All right, and the last game, Cheyenne at Pahrump. I take Pahrump. They play good at home. That's why. I don't know why other than that.
I'm going Cheyenne. I think Cheyenne's better than people are giving them credit for this year.
They just lost by 16.
They're solidly in that. No, that's because Sierra Vista's really good. Yeah. Have you listened to me any time on this podcast?
Never. I never listen to you. You exactly. Say things, I like and I'm them thinking a lot. Of what things I'm going to say.
All right.
Hey, shout out to Spencer Coe for Player of the Week.
Player of the Week. Don't forget to send us your nominations for the Sun Standout Player of the Week. Thanks a lot for listening. Prep Sports Now. We'll be back next week.